Good afternoon and welcome to the Central Baptist Church broadcast. This is Pastor Troy McGahan of the Central Baptist Church. We'd like to welcome you to come out and be with us at 721 South Main Street in beautiful Marion, Kentucky. Our service times are 10:30 for Sunday school, morning worship for 11, and then Wednesday nights we have a time of fellowship at 6 o'clock, and then a lesson brought by our youth minister at 7. So if you're looking for a Baptist Church in the Marion, Kentucky area, then come on out and be with us. Now, have your Bibles open up, please, to the book of the Revelation in chapter 18. Now, God willing, today we're going to be looking at verses. We might stop with verses 1 through 8, but then again, I'm going to be honest with you, we may go through the remainder of the chapter as well. I'm not sure what we're going to do. But I promise you this, whatever we do, we want to do it with full understanding of the context of God's Word. Now, Revelation chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, of course, we have the fall of Babylon. Now, we find in verse 1, it says, "After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory." Now, verse 1, we see an introduction to an angel. Now, this angel is described as one with great authority, so the angel is authoritative. Number 2, the earth was illuminated with the glory of this angel. Now, if you recall, the fifth bowl judgment in Revelation 16:10 will have plunged the world into darkness against that backdrop. The sudden blazing appearance. Now, by the way, this is from John MacArthur's commentary. Blazing appearance of another angel, not the same as the one in 17, that is chapter 17 and verses 1, 7, and 15, will certainly rivet the world's attention on him and his message of judgment on Babylon. Now, we come to verses 2 and 3. Verse 2 and 3, we see why this angel is crying out. Why is he crying out? It says he's crying out mightily with a loud voice, saying, "Babylon the great has fallen. Has fallen, has become a dwelling place, notice, of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird." Then in verse 3, it says, "For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury." So, what do we find here in verse 2? Well, it says Babylon the Great is fallen, and we notice this, that as this takes place, this great place, and listen, some people say, well, it's talking about economic or financial Babylon. Some would say that it's talking about spiritual Babylon. Listen, I believe all this is pictured here, okay? And we'll see that momentarily. But notice it describes Babylon as a place where there are demons dwelling, right? Then it's a place for where a prison for every foul spirit and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. So in other words, it is a place of devastation. It is a place of wickedness and debauchery and evil. Now notice this too. "For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury." So what do we find here? The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. Now, is this specifically talking about physical fornication, as in sexual sin and sexual immorality? Not necessarily, even though that has quite possibly taken place, as that happens a lot as far as kingdoms and kings and coming together and for trying to get great power and so forth. But understand, I believe if more than anything, it's talking about here a spiritual type of idolatry and adultery. Okay, now notice this too. Verses 4 through 8. Here we find that the Lord speaks, and he calls out to his people to absolutely forsake this system of ungodliness. Now, there's a couple of ways we can look at this. Now, a lot of people, of course, I've said this before, growing up, we used to look at this as a great horror was really the religious system of Catholicism, okay? And it could be seen as calling out to those who have been saved to come out of her, quite possibly. Then we have calling out to those who have not been saved to salvation. But I'll say this, this is probably both scenarios here. This is in essence the same message that Isaiah and Jeremiah gave to those in their day to leave Babylon. You can find that referenced in Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 20, Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 8, as well as Jeremiah chapter 51 verses 6 and 7. Then we see that God says that he remembered Babylon's iniquities. However, we also know that God does not remember our iniquities, and he protects us from them. Now, I want you to also notice this too about verse 6, okay? Notice what it says in verse 6. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works, and the cup which she has mixed. Mix double for her, in the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, and the same measure give her torment and sorrow, for she says in her heart, I sit as queen, and am no widow, will not see sorrow. Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning, and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord who judges her. Now, we ended up reading verses 4 through 8 there, but notice this too. As the Lord is speaking out, he tells them, as we've already said, calls out to them to leave or to forsake this system of ungodliness. Again, he could be calling out to those who haven't been saved, calling them to salvation, then also calling out to those who are saved in spite of the system. But again, we believe it's probably both. But then God says he remembered their iniquities. And then we come to verse 6, okay? Now, verse 6, we just read verses 6, 7, and 8. And this is what it says. And verse 6 talks about double. This has a sense of full, but not only full, but overflowing. The punishment will fit the crime. And then the cup of wickedness from which so many have drunk, and will call for the cup of wrath. Now, verses 7 and 8, what talks about am no widow. This talks about their proud, their boasting of their self-sufficiency. And this self-sufficiency cried out by Babylon, listen, I don't need anyone. I don't need God. I don't need his wealth. I don't need his cattle on 1,000 hills. I don't need his salvation. But soon they will learn they have that need as they are destroyed by God himself. Then we come to verse 8. Verse 8, when it says, therefore her plagues will come in one day. Notice, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord who judges her. Now, verse 8, some say these could be included those of chapter 16 and verse 11, but understand that this is speaking specifically of the special destruction of this city, described as death, mourning, that's grieving, that is mourning, grieving, and famine, and talks about in one day. Now, is this going to all happen in one day? Maybe it could. But could it also be talking about just a short period of time? Well, I think that's very possible as well. Whatever happens, it's going to be swift, and it's going to happen very quickly. Now, God willing, today, we're going to continue on, and we're going to look at verses 9 through 20. Now, what's going on here in 9 through 20? Here we find the mourning, that is the grieving, that takes place whenever Babylon falls. Now, verse 9 says, the kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, what great city, or that great city, excuse me, Babylon, that mighty city, for 1 hour your judgment has come. Remember, we refer there in verse 8, talking about 1 hour? Could very well be that it is just 1 hour. But whatever it is, it's swift, it's going to be brief, it's going to happen quickly. And the fact of the matter is, the kings of the earth are going to be weeping. Why? Because all of the luxury that they had received through their fornication with her is going to be gone. Then we come to verse 11. Then the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble, and cinnamon and incense, fragrant oil and frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses, chariots and bodies, and souls of men. That's what these merchants are going to be grieving at this time. Why? Because no one's going to buy off of them anymore. This allegiance or this league they were in with Babylon, it's going to be dissolved. All the investment they made, they're going to lose all their money. But notice what it's all going to be part of. It's going to be precious metal. It's going to be jewelry. It's going to be precious woods and fine woods and so forth. But then talks about the souls of men. That's all about slavery. That's the wickedness that they're going to be taking part in at this time. And no longer will that happen. No more wine being sold. No more wheat. But then notice verse 14, the fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour or a brief period of time, such riches came to nothing. In other words, they have lost it all. That's the merchants again. But then notice this too. Notice as we continue on. Here we notice in the next verse, every shipmaster. Here it talks about all the captains, all the shipmasters who traveled by ship, the sailors, as many that trade. Because remember, folks, what it's talking about here is those who do trade by sea. They're going to be disillusioned as well. Why? Because the way they made their money with all the ships and the ports, Babylon has been made desolate. And they're going to be mourning and grieving over their loss of material. But then we notice verse 20. Verse 20 is pretty amazing here. Verse 20, we find that they rejoice over what is going on. It says, rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. God has taken his vengeance on Babylon. See, there's mourning by the world. There's mourning by everyone else over what has happened to Babylon, except for God's people. Because God has avenged his people. Then we come to verses 21 through the remainder of the chapter. Verses 21 through 24, we see the finality of the destruction of Babylon. Now, verse 21, notice, then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore. The sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, trumpeters shall not be heard in you anymore. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in you anymore. And the sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you anymore. The light of a lamp shall not shine in you anymore. And the voice of bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants were the great men of the earth. For by your sorcery all the nations were deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and saints and of all who were slain on the earth. Verse 21, here is a metaphor. This metaphor pictures the violence of Babylon's demise. Imagine, if you will, picking up a large rock. Go out here to what used to be Lake George. We'll say a pond, okay? And you have what would have a sheep head stone or a pretty good little rock, okay? About the size of a sheep head or something. And you get out there, you pick it up over here, and you throw it into the water. What happens? Well, you know, there's a pretty good size splash. And then what happens? You had the ripple effect. And it goes out for a pretty good way in that pond. Well, here is the thing, okay? And I want you to think about this. Imagine this mighty angel picking up this millstone. And a millstone was something that was used to crush grain and flour. And as it would go around, they would grind grain. And this big millstone, which is huge and heavy, would be picked up and thrown into the sea. And in that sea would be this big cataclysmic crash and splash. That shows the destruction. Imagine all that water that comes up and just wipes out everything around it. That's the picture that's going on here, okay? Then notice this too. Then notice verses 22 and 23. Here's the demise of Babylon. And notice what's going on there. Notice when Babylon is destroyed, there's no music. There's no reveling. Music is shown here as a time of partying, and it's a good time. You know, it's like, you know, the old song when I was growing up, celebration. There's not going to be any celebrations of Babylon. Why? Because it's destroyed. Notice, no craftsmen. There's going to be no industry going on. Nothing happening. No artisans, no jewelers, no smithing, nothing. It's going to be silent. Why? Because it's wiped out. There's going to be no preparation of food. You're not going to have fine dining and chefs and so forth. Why? Because it's been destroyed. Notice, no light. Why? Because it's been destroyed. No weddings. There's not going to be celebrations. There's not going to be marriage and giving in marriage because it has been destroyed. And God has done it all. Look at verse 24. Notice, and in her was found the blood of prophets and saints and of all who were slain on the earth. Now, John MacArthur has to say this, or says this, in about verse 24. The religious and commercial political systems embodied in Babylon will commit unspeakable atrocities against God's people. However, God will avenge the blood of His people. And those that were slaughtered by Babylon. You see, folks, we can trust God that He knows exactly what He is doing. And I want you to understand this, folks. In the finality of Babylon's destruction and demise, it is all orchestrated by God. Listen, you don't have to worry about whether God is on His throne or not. He is 100% on His throne, and He is taking care of things as He sees fit, and He will avenge His people whenever it's proper and good. We can trust Him. Listen, if you're out there today and you're lost, I want to tell you this. Your greatest need is Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. And for all that will call upon His name, He will save them. I tell you today, turn from your sin, turn from yourself, and turn to Jesus, and He will save you. God bless you, folks, and we'll see you next time. The Central Baptist Church broadcast. Have a wonderful day.